Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the May 23rd Othello Regular City Council Meeting. Would you all please rise? For a short invocation, asking blessing upon this council and wisdom as we make decisions that affect this community. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May be seated. Item 1.4 is roll call, and Eugene Bain celebrating a birthday tonight, so with his family, so I said to go enjoy yourself. So I need a motion tonight to excuse Councilmember, excuse me, Eugene Bain.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Item 1.5 is citizen input. Is there any citizen here tonight who would like to address the Othello City Council? Please raise your hand, I'll recognize you. You can step to the microphone, and you have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address council? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item 2, approval of agenda. Entertain a motion to approve our agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is consent agenda. I entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then we'll move to our current business portion of the council meeting, and 4.1, a Vista request for variance. Wayne, do you have a staff report?
Do you just hit it here?
Yeah, whichever one you want to see, if you want to see them.
Mayor and council, as you all know, we're busily trying to get 14th Avenue going. Should start breaking ground about the 8th of June, give or take a day. As part of that, we're trying to get everything squared away with utilities and everything else, so we worked with the Vista, and we're talking about undergrounding their main line in there. So Vista came and met with Terry, myself, and with Kurt Holland, our engineer, last week, and made their case for doing that. They made some good points, there's some valid reasons for doing it, and of course, there's reasons why not. So as we went through there, we looked at the variance, what would be required, and of course, it is in both the ordinance and in the franchise agreement. And so, as I told Ian and Paul Kimmel, who's here also tonight, they would have to come before council and request that variance and argue their case before you all. So that's what they're here to do tonight.
Ian, do you want to go first, or Paul, are you going to go? Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and council. For the record, I'm Paul Kimmel, Regional Business Manager with the Vista. I'm based in Pullman, Washington. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We do appreciate it. We also very deeply appreciate the fact that we can serve your citizens and community with electricity. And then one other side note, I want to thank you for participating in our Relight Washington program with TIB. I was very active in promoting and helping shape this program with the state, with TIB, where we could actually extend true savings to our communities through LED technology. So it's been an exciting process, not without a lot of bumps in the road, but again, after we got our City of Palouse pilot behind us, we saw a lot of success in operational savings, energy savings, as well as savings that we can pass on to you as a community. And I think Spencer or maybe Travis shared a little bit of that with you a few council meetings ago. So thank you. Thanks for participating. Tonight before us, I want to, first of all, introduce Ian Eccles. But again, we're here to ask for a variance and respectfully ask your consideration of our case before you tonight. Ian will go through a little bit of the details about the actual trunk feeder, or feeder trunk, that line that we have at issue, and then I'll do a little more explaining around how we think we might meet the conditions the criteria for a variance. So with that, I'll ask Ian to come up.
Mayor, Council, good evening. Thanks for having us and putting this on this agenda. So yeah, as Wade explained, we've got a little bit of a dilemma here in this 14th Avenue project. And so I guess just to back up the big picture, Lee and Reynolds substation, you guys know where that is on the intersection of Lee and Reynolds. In your little packet there, there is a map that shows just kind of the big picture of Othello and our feeders. So you might want to look at that. I didn't give you a slide there, Debbie. So Lee and Reynolds sub is in the upper right. Of course, Simplot and McCain's in the upper left. You guys know your town, but it's Highway 26 down on the bottom, and where 14th meets Highway 26 there by the North Arrow. That's what we're talking about between Cemetery and Highway 26. So that half mile is being requested by the city to have us bury our feeder. And this is a feeder trunk. And so I wanted to show you this because I want to demonstrate how our power system just works in the big picture. And we've got substations by Simplot and one by Lee and Reynolds. The Lee and Reynolds feeder runs down 14th through town to Highway 26, and it ties to the South Othello feeder. South Othello sub is down off Taylor Road. So part of this project would entail putting a pad-mounted switch that would tie those two feeders together right there in the corner of Highway 26 and 14th. And I believe that's Hampton's ground, and it's zoned commercial. So I saw that as a problem. We got this in the last page of your document, or pictures of a switch that John Wallace has probably seen before. Maybe out of his window. It's at McCain's. And this is a similar switch. 600 amp switch sits on a 10 by 16 foot vault. That's 9 foot deep. So this is a massive structure. It's kind of hard to see in these pictures maybe how big it is, but it's 10 by 16 feet. And so to me, this is a big obstruction to that corner property. And so I guess that's one of the points I wanted to make, was that underground doesn't mean everything just disappears, right? We still have equipment that we have to be able to access. And the switch is a big component of our feeder system and ability to tie different substations together when you have outages. So we also, and the other thing is, the easement width for that project is 10 feet wide. So we're being asked to work within a 10-foot easement, and our vault's 10 by 16, and there's other joint users that need to be in that easement. So there's an issue there. We're going to take up that whole vault. And then along the way, there would be more pulling vaults and switches at the intersections of Columbia and Cypress and Scutney, I believe. So there's more boxes on the way. Can you need to see it.
Spencer, can you pick up the map so we can see the map?
I didn't email it to him.
Just, oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just printed off that one.
You can put it on the...
Oh. So you want me to do that?
Put it on right there.
I just want to make sure, you're talking about putting this underground vault at the corner of Reynolds and 26,
yes,
out by the freeway?
Yeah.
All right.
If you go ahead.
Yeah, so right in this right corner of Hampton property now, it'll be where that switch is.
So that's just kind of the big picture. The other piece of this is scheduling. That switch was 16 weeks out. We ordered it mid-April, so it is on order, but it won't be here till the end of August. When I told Wade and Terry and Kurt the scheduling dilemma I saw, I think they agreed. And so the switch doesn't get here till the end of August. We don't theoretically have it energized, or realistically have it energized, till mid-September-ish. We can't remove the existing pole line until this new line is built and energized, right? We can't just cut off Olson Homes and the city's well and all the things that we serve through that stretch. So we have to completely energize this line before we can remove the old line, right? So now the contractor can't obviously build a road or even tear out the existing road until the old line can be moved. So that's kind of those are the two big items I wanted to note. And then the third smaller one is that we don't have any, this is called a 600 amp system if we do have to bury it. So 600 amp system is what, how we, is how we size our trunk system, and there is no other 600 amp system in Othello besides Simplot's backbone. And so if there was ever an outage or a fault or anything else, we would have to call on Spokane crews. Othello is not geared up for working on this, on this equipment. So that just adds 2 hours minimum, usually 3 hours, to get a crew here from Spokane to deal with outages. So, so I think with that, I hand it back over to Paul to talk about the variances.
So in your package, you were provided some additional information, and I'm not expecting you to read all that email, but again, I want to just stress the fact that typically we don't bury our feeder trucks, I mean, anywhere, except in the case of, say, downtown Spokane, where we have no other option except to bury things. It's just operationally difficult to provide services, as Ian said, safety, and the crews here are not trained to really respond or maintain that system. So we appreciate the fact that you have this city code regarding undergrounding, and we certainly want to support undergrounding as much of our facilities whenever and wherever possible. This is a case where it's just infeasible for us to do this. We have our customers, we have the utility commission, and we also have our shareholders that we have to answer to. So when we expend a lot of additional costs, incur a lot of costs, we have to answer and justify that decision model for them. So again, we appreciate the fact that you have a variance provision in this section of code, and I've provided some justification in your packet why we think this is a reasonable request on behalf of Avista. So if you would permit me, I can just go through those different conditions in section 1456.050. The first condition is it technologically unsound to require undergrounding of a particular facility or particular location? Again, as Ian said, we have no 600 amp underground facilities here in the city of Othello. So this creates a difficult and challenging configuration for us both to manage and protect that system, and as well as the integrity and responding reliably. Again, we are heavily monitored. We expect good reliability. I think our customers respect it as well. The second condition, that the cost of the underground installation when compared to overhead installation is disproportionate. If this feeder trunk is altered from an overhead configuration to underground, the patrolling times would be increasing greatly, as Ian said, and then due to reliability, additional restoration requirements and costs, the Spokane crews, as we mentioned before. And again, we estimate that the undergrounding of this feeder trunk is a six-fold increase in costs, and these are solid numbers. So go from, if we just move the existing overhead, it's about $64,000 to do that, and Ian says he can do it in just a few weeks, right? Versus almost $400,000 to bury this half-mile stretch to an underground. So again, a disproportionate comparison, we believe. And then again, as Ian said, the road widening project could be in jeopardy scheduling-wise. If we do delay, we have to wait to energize that new system before we can move the old system. And we'd be concerned about the integrity of your project as well.
So, Ian, being that this is a feeder, I mean, it's a main trunk line feeding from one substation connecting to another substation. If you bury it and you have the subdivisions going off to the right of it, how many times are you going to have to open up that line and dig in for underground to provide to the subdivisions?
I'd like to say none, if I could see into the future 20 years, right? But that's the problem. So, you know, we've talked about adding one for the, where Columbia will come through. And but yeah, anything else, I can't see into the future. So I could potentially have to dig in a junction. And that is a big deal.
So, like, would you be preparing for the CBHA development
by putting in a underground system from your underground system to them? I mean, would that be ordering another vault and placing it in?
Actually, Big Bend is going to serve CBHA.
Okay, so how do they get their power from Big Bend from a different location?
Right, they come down Cemetery.
Yeah, they come down Cemetery, and then, and they're already there. They're underground on the east side of the road, down from Waikidis, and serve Waikidis. So they just need to dig another 200 feet. I apologize for being a little close, but dig another 200 feet down to CBHA. So we went after CBHA, competed against Big Bend, and they went for the lower rates. So I lost them.
So I don't need to worry about that. But we still have to, we have to pull a wire. So we, everywhere, you know, this is 1,000 MCM wire in individual 4-inch conduits. It's similar to the backbone we put into your office. I misspoke before. We have a section of 600 amp in McCain's and one in Simplot. But anyway, big conduit, big wire. And we have, so we pull them in 500-foot sections. And at each of those sections, at the end of each run, we have a vault and a box. So.
And if I could just follow up. One of the challenges we have is making sure that we size it to the proper capacity going forward, that we don't know what that development's going to look like west of 14th, and we may see, hopefully, more growth, more commercial growth, and obviously more residential. So, again, we're going to have to oversize this to accommodate some of that, and there's a potential there to have to dig this up and put in additional switching, perhaps. Condition three, where the area in which undergrounding is required has not established a sufficient growth pattern. Again, it kind of talks about this. The growth patterns and proposed development remain somewhat undetermined along this section of 14th Avenue, at least on the western side of that street. Future load growth on the system would likely require additional facilities, including pad mount switches and related equipment to feed those new lateral loads. And again, we're not sure what those look like. And then some of the economic uses at that corner lot down where that big transfer switch will be, certainly it's going to impact the value and opportunities on that property. And then finally, when granting a variance, item four, when granting a variance, the council may attach conditions granting that variance, including time limits, etc. You know, again, as I said before, we want to make your 14th Avenue road widening successful. We don't want to be the reason that you're delayed, honestly. So to that end, if you would consider granting this variance, we certainly want to help you with that decorative street lighting on 14th, and we offer our services to help install and provide for any shortfall in funding to get the decorative street lights installed as part of that project. So, again, with that, I thank you. Thanks for the opportunity tonight. We don't take variances lightly, nor I know you don't.
Writing before we make a decision.
Okay. I think before any of us ask any questions, I'm going to ask Kelly, our the city attorney. In your opinion, do the reasons brought forward by Avista rise to the level of public interest and safety and health with regard to variance? Or is there other issues that maybe we need to be considering?
Well, they've covered the topical areas required in the Othello Municipal Code.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing this tonight, I mean, it's hard to shoot knock up a little bit here.
Okay.
But, I would agree that there's a factual basis for the variance, if that's what the council wanted to do. So from a factual standpoint, if the council wanted to proceed with the variance, I don't think there's anything prohibiting it. However, council's not required to grant the variance either.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to, but there's an adequate, I think, basis on the record to do so.
Okay. Now, council, go ahead with your questions.
Okay, so this is an existing line that already is there, and the reason we're asking it to go underground is because we're widening the road?
It has to be moved.
Yes.
And look at the...
To the outside.
Holes in the line have to be moved.
Yes.
Yeah.
To accommodate the sidewalk and everything else that we're going to be putting in with the roadway. And because we're asking them to move it, we're trying to enforce the ordinance that we've put into effect to underground everything. Where this was pre-existing already, and it only now has to be moved because we're making the road bigger.
Yes. Were we doing this project trying to come up with when the school closes and when,
yes,
hopefully when they get ready to start again?
Trying to get it done before school starts again, so that we
and
don't have a...
And that doesn't look like that's going to be.
No, that's not going to happen.
So what does that do to our, does that set us back a year? I mean, are we going to do the project on 14th when school's going? Waiting for the delay, after the delay, do we start then, or do we wait another year?
We start on the 8th, and the last day of school is the 9th. So basically, while they're moving equipment and stuff, that'll be, and then by the time, then school will be out, by the time they're digging and the actual physical work of the construction, school will be out. But school comes back, like, just before Labor Day, and we're still going to be another 5-6 weeks out past Labor Day. Is that correct, Terry, as far as the schedule?
I think HMA is down around
7. Yeah, October 7th. So, yeah, you're going to still have school interrupted for approximately 5-6 weeks.
I see.
Yeah.
Let me add something, Mayor, if I can. Your question was delay for a year. TIB is not going to let us delay for a year. We're already at the end of when we got delayed because of our previous engineers.
I was just trying to feel out whether we're going to continue.
Yeah, we have to complete this by the end of the year.
Sure.
And, of course, that means getting the asphalt laid before the plant shut down. So any delay is going to be not good. And we'll narrow that window.
If we have to delay this off until they're done in September, that potentially puts us not even being able to finish this year.
And that would jeopardize the TIB?
Right. That's correct.
So we would be completely out of that grant?
Our chances of that happening are pretty great because we delayed First Avenue for the same reason, because for the engineer, previous engineer, delaying all the plans. And so our stock with TIB is not as high as it normally would be if we hadn't delayed First. I would say our chances of being able to delay 14th would be better, but now I'd say they were probably two, slim and none, to do that, in my opinion, based on my conversations with the head of the CIB, with First Avenue. So this is just another after effect of that delay from our previous engineer.
Weren't we supposed to start this month on that project?
Went out for bid. The plan was to start, I thought it was going to be this month. It's not until June 8th till school was out.
Day before school's out.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, John.
Where's the proposed line to be buried?
Cemetery is 26.
Okay, but where at on the road construction portion of it? Is there a drawing of the...
What side of it, you mean?
Well, I'm assuming on the east side, and I'm assuming it's going to be in the right-of-way, which would be outside of the sidewalk line to the road.
55
feet from center line is the edge of the right-of-way. So it's a 90-foot road, 45 inch away from center line, and then we have 10 feet to work in after that. So theoretically, our pole should be at 54 feet from center line. Right now, they're at 54 minus 25, 30.
Okay.
30 feet.
Right.
Yeah, so the existing poles are 1 foot inside the new curb.
Okay. But also, so, if it's 10 feet wide, you can't just dig that hole exactly 10 feet wide. it's going to have to be wider than that, so there goes your sidewalk if you waited.
So you'd have it partly buried under the sidewalk?
No, we'll be behind the sidewalk.
But still, what, if you have to go in or for any reason whatsoever to repair or to tie in, how much of what you have already placed, sidewalk, roadway, whatever, are you going to be disturbing to deal with that?
Oh, yeah, landscaping and sidewalk will be tore out. We can't work within 10 feet. Travis and I had talked about that early on. It's like maybe we can ask the CBHA and the school in the Hamptons for 10 or 20 more feet, you know. But I don't know, I just feel like that's not really our place to do. You know, we've been given this easement to work with them.
So that as long as you keep it overhead and you got a pole line running, you're pretty much not going to get into anything if you have to repair it. A long, long time ago, Kurt Little told me, he said, if you can keep it overhead, keep it overhead. We buried our line at McCain's because we had 6 lines on one pole, and you could only have 3 at one time, so we had to spread them out. That wasn't an issue that we wanted to deal with, but they did to make it right.
And you're talking on a main line.
But it was only, we're talking, yeah, a main line. It was only, what, 400 feet?
Yeah.
But that's all I'm saying is that the guys, old school was keep it overhead because if you have problems underground, you're really...
You're going to tear something up.
You're going to tear something up and you're going to have a hard time finding it.
That's the problem. Reliability is our number one goal here. And with this, a trunk feeder underground, just we're going to have a lot of people out of power for a long time until we find that problem. And we might not have a problem for 20 years, right? But when we do, it's going to be hard to find.
A lot of water in that area, I think.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate the fact that we are, I don't know if you caught it, I hope you did, but we did decide between Paul and I that my crew will go in and install all those beautification lights, you know, your decorative street lights for free for the city. So that's something that the city was planning on doing, I believe, and paying a contractor to do. But I'd like just to show that we're trying to ease the pain a little bit, or however you want to look at that. Maybe some people focus on the lights instead of the overhead lines or something, but we'll do that for free. They labor.
But there's overhead lines running down Main Street too, so I mean, you just don't look at that. So all the poles would be brand new?
Yeah.
All of the hardware,
yeah, everything
would be brand new?
Yeah.
And moved over?
Yeah.
And then you would draft up an agreement to do the beautification lighting on that street?
Yes.
But we're still purchasing the poles, but the installation cost and everything would be borne by Avista, which is no small amount. How much did we figure it was? I don't know.
Kurt estimated $100,000. I'm not sure if it'd be quite that much, but it's a significant amount of money.
That may be low because I think the poles would actually be more than what he told you.
Right.
We looked at the poles, so it would be more than $100,000.
So since we're all horse trading tonight, what about the rest of Main Street?
I already planned on doing that.
Yeah.
Installing, but not buying.
Yeah.
No, I love being part of this community and helping out. You see that, you know, from all we do. So.
I know.
And this took a lot of. Yeah. This I don't like to come here asking for a variance, right? But I just feel like we're in a trap here, so.
I understand your reasonings, but I'm kind of in the same. I don't want to grant a variance because it sets a precedence, and then the next group comes and goes, well, yeah, but you granted one for these guys, and then we're in the same boat of having all kind of overhead stuff in town, and we're trying to get away from that. But now, let me get this correct. It's a main line coming down 14th, and from there on, anything new out into that newer area is going to be underground.
Yep, correct. Just like Olson Homes, everything else is underground. Yeah.
And they're not going to be. They're going to be clean line. I mean,
nothing else is on.
Clean line for you guys. You know, just be you guys.
Yes.
We won't have crap hanging all over them like we do over the rest of the town.
Yeah, Yeah, currently there's foam is on that pole line. We're going to have to negotiate with them on, well, they need to come and ask for variance, but I think they want a bury. They've talked about burying, so I don't think that'll be an issue. We wouldn't allow that, of course.
Is that like a regular pole, is if somebody wants on it and you have to let them on? Like the poles in the alleys here?
Well, yeah, but then, but the ordinance supersedes that, right? So they'd have to come and ask for a variance to the ordinance.
But they're existing poles, so they wouldn't have to have a variance. Is that the way that goes? If the poles are existing, they don't need a variance.
I thought that was the reason to start with Noel is those are existing poles of ours.
For new lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we had the issue of companies coming in and just hanging stuff and not asking for the permission from Avista or getting permit or variance from us.
So they're going to move the pole line over, get it out of the roadway,
get it into a right-of-way.
Anyone that would come and attach to that pole would have to get a right-of-way permit to do so. And it's going to be free and clear of all it's going to carry is power right now today. So if they wanted communication or whatever to go along that pole line, they'd have to come in and get a variance. But first they'd have to file for a permit, right-of-way permit, to even get it done.
What if you added a fiber optic line along that stretch? I mean, we're horse trading, guys.
Right.
I don't know, what would the cost to add a fiber optic line there? Because the city and its infrastructure for fiber is deficient, as it were, and we would like to expand that, and maybe that's for another conversation, but...
You don't particularly run fiber optics, so, I mean, are you saying that you would be willing to allow Northland or somebody to come in and run a fiber optic cable up their line?
That's just a question.
Just let me add something here. Terry, correct me if I'm wrong. We're going to put... the other lines can be buried in conduit in whatever they put them in. So if they ran fiber optic, it's going to be they won't have to bury the lines themselves. The conduit ought to be there. So that should be a non-issue. Is that
you can't run fiber optic right on top of power?
Yeah.
Right. You can't pull it through the same conduit.
That's why I was asking.
There'd be interference. You have to run your own fiber optics in your own conduit, and it would have to be away from that electricity because you get all kinds of distortion in your fiber optics. So you can't bury it with their burial. But you can put it on a pole line and you could carry it down there if you wanted to do a feeder that way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So in our talks before we thought about this variance idea, when we were going to open a trench, you know, the whole way, then everybody and their brother wanted to come in, right? So we had Noel, Northland, CDHA wants their own fiber along their property. I don't know what that means, this future fiber conduit. And then Big Bend is going to be in there. CenturyLink, you know, there's five or six of us. It was just going to be a nightmare of a trench. But I guess that speaks to your question, Mayor Logan, is fiber, you know, Noel or Northland, the fiber companies, want to be in there, right? So, and Big Ben has to dig part of the length to extend the CBHA. So
we're going to have to allow them to
yeah.
Because we're going to allow you not to dig. If that's what the council decides tonight, then my concern is we need fiber in this town. We apparently don't eat enough of a diet that has enough fiber in it, and fast and high speed internet is a big deal, and this little community just doesn't have the access. And so this 14th Avenue is going to be a major intersection. It's going to be a major street. We're looking at over 300 cars at peak hour just from Columbia Basin Health. We also have the school, and then every, and then whatever is across, and then whatever is next to the highway. And so we're trying to get ourselves into the new century. So maybe that isn't up to you to do that, but I think this council needs to consider that we need access to fiber optic, and so that we can increase the speeds of the internet service providers here in this community, and maybe even become a provider ourselves. I don't know, but and that's a bigger discussion than maybe completely tonight. So I'm going to go back to the issue at hand. Is Avista here is requesting a variance? They've laid out their reasons. The city attorney, upon first glance, doesn't see any particular hiccups with regard to the city granting it or the city not granting it. And so now, is there any other questions that you guys want to ask either staff or Avista?
Do you work with any other communities that underground their utilities?
Not many. Liberty Lake is probably one that has a pretty stringent, but again, we just resist burying these feeders. It's just operationally incredibly expensive and difficult.
So you're saying in these communities where they want to underground a lot of their stuff, so the main ones coming in are on overhead, but then it goes out in into the community
underground. Yeah.
And they got no problem with doing that
new
for
development.
A subdivision?
Yeah, certainly new development, new commercial, residential, absolutely. Everything goes underground.
So, and we look at the map there on the corner of 14th and 26th on the northeast corner, which is the Hampton property, and that develops out. We could go underground all the way
all
into
the way
that.
In. Yeah. So it'd just be down.
It'd just be
Street.
Down 14th would be the supply line.
Well, yeah, the main road. Sorry.
All right.
Shouldn't need Street.
Okay.
I would make a motion to accept the variance request made by Avista Utilities during the 14th Avenue reconstruction project.
Including the offer to install.
Conditional on the offer made to install all the beautification lighting.
Forever, I mean.
Just got one quick question, Kelly.
I'm sorry.
When it comes to variances, are we tying our hands in the future if somebody else comes in here and goes, oh, but you did the variance here? How is that going to affect us?
From a legal perspective, no. You know, they're going to try and make that argument to you for, you know, to try and persuade you most likely. But no, you every variance, you need to look at the criteria set forth in the ordinance. You're going to have to, you know, produce information or evidence that's going to satisfy those criteria. And that's the only time, frankly, that you can grant a variance is when those criteria are met. Mm-hmm. So no, it's going to depend on the particular facts surrounding whatever specific variance being requested.
Who signs variances? The mayor?
Who signs variances?
The mayor, the administrator?
To look at that, but what we do is draft a resolution granting an ordinance, and
the mayor would sign that. Okay, so I'm sorry, Mark, I messed up your motion. So let's restart. You made the motion to accept the variance request or approve the variance request from the Avista, subject to the
installation
of the beautification decorative lights, and we'll have that in a contract?
Sure, yeah.
Or a resolution? Yeah, signed
by... Well, it's going to have to go into a...
I want it in writing from Avista, please.
It has to go into the right-of-way permit that you'll be issuing them?
What's that? John, sorry.
It will go into the right-of-way permit that you'll be issuing them.
All right.
As a conditional use of the right-of-way, they have to...
Yeah, it's going to go into the variance that you get. If you approve it, it'll go be hardwired into the variance that their ability to be able to locate above ground is conditioned on them installing the beautification lighting.
Okay. And if they don't meet the condition, then the variance...
But they'll still need a right-of-way permit to be in the right-of-way?
Correct.
For their line. So they need to do that.
I'll second his motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Now, here's the reason why I wanted it in writing, just so you know. This is a revolving door. You guys, by the time, even in 3 months, neither one of you could be in the same job, and so we're dealing with new people, and you may be dealing with new people. It just keeps everything...
copacetic.
Yeah, copacetic, as it were.
Fully understand.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
We'll move on now to item 4.2. We have with us Amy Hurlbut. She has a number of facility use agreements, so Amy, take it away.
Okay, great. The first one, I believe, on the agenda is the Farmers Market Facility Use Agreement, and that is between the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce and the City of Othello. The Chamber of Commerce took over the Farmers Market last year and operated from July through October in Pioneer Park. The conditions are the same as last year. There is one change that's been made to the park itself. Last year, they only used one section, the eastern section of the park, and this year they would like to have access to the whole park in case they decide to expand the farmers market into something bigger than just farmers. So I have drawn in the map this year for them to have access to the whole Pioneer Park, and through a facility use agreement, that is an acceptable term. There's no other reservations at Pioneer Park. There's about 150 to 500 people, so they fall into the $200 category. It'll be business as usual as it was last year. They are currently in search of a new chamber manager, so I'm not exactly sure who will be managing the market, but per the contract that's been signed, a representative from the Chamber of Commerce will be on site at all times. And that's to make sure that all of the USDA and WIC rules and regulations will be adhered to, and that will be up to the responsibility of the Chamber of Commerce.
So they want to go all the way to October 29, huh?
According to the agreement that we have with WIC, so the farmers market here in Othello is a WIC-approved farmers market, so that means they can accept the farmers market nutrition program checks. And in order to maintain that status, you have to be open through the expiration of those checks.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily their desire to run that far into the year, but it's something that is very beneficial for CBHA, who uses the farmers market to pass out those checks to local families, and especially for some of the vendors. I believe the numbers for 2015, I haven't seen last year's, we're in about $10,000 of farmers market nutrition program checks passed through our farmers market, which translates directly into the local growers and producers. So,
okay. Thank you, Amy. Any questions? I need a motion.
They're in shock that they'll get a vendors, you know, I mean, some kettle corn.
So that would be the reason that they would need the extra part of the park. So another set of rules that they have to adhere to for the WIC side of things is the USDA specifications for farmers market, which has to be homemade, handmade, homegrown, or I believe those are the three statutes. So commercially made products or wares to sell are prohibited at the farmers market. However, I did discuss when I was with the Chamber of Commerce with the USDA about there being a separate but adjacent market. So for instance, the west side of the park could be a Saturday market, and the east side of the park, separated by a path, could be the Othello Farmers Market, and essentially they could facilitate two yet one to sort of make everybody happy. Last year, we did not look into any options that way just because they started so late in the game, but I think that this year there's definitely the opportunity for something new like that to come in.
Great. Good.
Motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay.
4.3, next one?
The next one is the 4th of July celebration. So that is also business as usual. Everything is in line with the planning for the Fourth of July. I have been attending the Fourth of July planning meetings as a representative from the Public Works Department. Things are moving along just fine. There's been some reorganization of the park setup, and it's actually the way that it used to be set up. So last year, the Chamber of Commerce deviated from its traditional setup as far as the stage and the vendors go, and this year, they have opted to move back to that previous setup. So other than that, there's nothing out of the ordinary or difference in that. Hoping the skate park is done and all of that good stuff to help support the event to go on, but otherwise, there'll be vendors in the park, stage entertainment, fireworks show at night, all the usual.
Any questions? Need a motion?
Actually, sorry to interrupt, I do have one comment.
Yes.
In looking at this agreement, I saw one little thing which should be changed, but if you look at paragraph five, it talks about self-insurance, and then it refers back to, it tries to refer back to the paragraph, which is paragraph four, talking about insurance, but it mistakenly says paragraph three. So that should be, so I think approval is great, just condition it on the contract being reworded to refer back to the appropriate paragraph, which is paragraph one. Sorry for that interruption.
Okay, so we want a motion with that correction?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Thank you, Kelly. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Amy, let's go on to the Columbia Basin Health Association Resolution Facilities Agreement.
Okay, great. So Columbia Basin Health Association has an annual health fair. Historically, they've held their health fair at Kiwanis Park. Last year, they decided to change venue and pair up with Fiesta Amistad, and they operated their health fair simultaneously with Fiesta Amistad. This year, that is not going to happen. They will operate their community health fair independently, and they have decided to relocate their festival or their health fair to Lions Park. I cannot speak about too many years prior to that, but this last year it was not just a CBHA health fair, it was a community health fair. So they involved Othello Community Hospital, MedStar, Adams County Health Department, counseling services, and just about anything and anyone that was health related around our area to collaborate with one another and pull together something that they felt was going to be more impactful and beneficial for the community. They had a good attendance last year, and that is one of the main reasons that they've decided to relocate at Lions Park. It's just the central location, the visibility from the road, and this year they would also be asking to use the vendor cord and set up their vendors a little bit differently, something similar to the 4th of July. So I have not scheduled a date yet, but I have had a discussion with the coordinator about getting down to the park and kind of looking at the options to what they have for park setup this year. But that would be the biggest change in previous years is that they'll be located at Lions Park instead of Kiwanis Park, and we'll walk through it together as the date draws closer to make sure that everybody's satisfied.
Questions? Need a motion?
There's two things on here. It says Kiwanis Park on here. That needs to be changed to Lions Park.
Oh, very good. Sorry.
And also, are we supposed to be endorsing anybody? The city of Othello endorse people?
This is not an endorsement, Corey. This is a allowed use of the park.
I know, but on the contract it says the city of Othello endorses CBHA. It's number three under recitals.
Yeah.
Might want to change the wording on that. It's in the resolution authorizing the use.
Oh, yeah.
Item three.
Oh, sorry. The contract too, sorry.
Yeah. It's on the resolution because I was looking on the contract too.
Number three. Under recital.
How about endorses the use of?
I wouldn't use the word endorses at all.
Yeah, I could take the whole line out.
I would remove that.
just remove it.
Good job, Corey. So do I, can I do this in one motion, or do I need two motions, one for the resolution, one for the agreement?
You can do it in one motion.
Okay. Subject to the removal of recital number three on the resolution. I'd entertain that motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's go to 4.5. Amy?
And last but not least, Bethel Assembly of God Church is requesting park use for a church picnic. This will take place at Kiwanis Park in Shelter One. This is an outdoor picnic intended to replace their evening church service that's typically held on Tuesday night to an outdoor function. There will be an iPod playing music off of a speaker and probably a small message from the pastor, bouncy houses, ideas for it to be social and fun. And they're expecting anywhere 150 people and on.
This thing has the same endorsement, yep. So we'll remove that.
Yep.
Anything else?
Yeah, and, yep.
Maybe we should take a look at the resolution outline and strike that from the outline.
Mm-hmm. I'll just change the template.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Those changes being made, I make the motion to accept the resolution.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
4.6, Fire Department Generator Bid Acceptance. Terry?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Council set aside $32,000 for the Fire Department's backup generator this year. We went out and asked for a request for quotes from four different electrical outfits. Two returned bids for us. Farmers Electric came in at $33,516.09. That was including tax. And obsolete Power came in at $54,927, including tax. We are about $1,516 short in funds to fund this. We took out some things. The fence, the city shop will put in the fence. Public Works will put in the fence around the generator. We were going to pour a pad, but we're going to put the pad to the backside, mount it on the concrete that's existing there, rather than work up the concrete. So I brought it to council for council approval. I know I'm short. I've talked to Spencer about this and Wade about this, but this is about as good as we got. It's a 50K generator. It's got a 200 amp transfer switch in it. Some of the electrical that's in that building when you want to run a door is also hooked to a light. Power outlet, so we had to include those in it. So it's capable of running that 200 amp service that's in there. It's not fully loaded. It's got some additional uses that can be put in there. You can put some more wiring in there and you can attach it, so it has some expandability on it.
So where's the extra 1500 coming from?
That'd be a Spencer question there.
Yeah. This is just something that Wade and I can watch, and it's part of the general fund budget, and $1,500. The difference here is actually $1,156. That's something that we can watch in the general fund, and we can tighten up other areas towards the end of the year if we need to. just over $1,000 isn't.
I know it's a drop in the bucket, but we got a tight budget, so I thought I'd ask.
Right. Yeah. Good question. But we'll watch it.
Okay.
Okay. I entertain a motion.
I'd second.
Okay, we've got a motion made and seconded to award the lowest bid on the generator, Farmers Electric 2 LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Council. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you, Spencer. And now we are going to ask Kelly to speak to item 4.7, ordinance amending OMC prohibited uses.
Okay. So this is the ordinance that I drafted based upon the public hearing we had at the last city council meeting, where the council heard public testimony and considered staff reports regarding the decision of whether to allow marijuana-related land uses such as retail, production, or processing. And my understanding from the vote after the council deliberated was that the consensus, the action voted on by the council was to prohibit the processing, production, or retail land uses or marijuana land uses in Othello. So I drafted the ordinance to accomplish that. What I had proposed was amending the prohibited uses section of Chapter 17.56 of the Municipal Code to just state that the retail, processing, or production of marijuana is prohibited within the city of Othello, or at least using property to engage in those activities is prohibited in Othello. So that's what it accomplishes, kind of short and sweet.
Perfect.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve the ordinance amending 170 of Chapter 1756 titled Prohibited Uses.
Second that.
Any discussion or questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5 is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council?
I just got a question for Terry. How is the skate park coming?
It's coming along tomorrow. We will shotcrete the bowl area, the larger portions, and some of the wall. He'll start that tomorrow. We had to fly back to Louisiana Thursday to get a pump, and he's driving the pump out here. So tomorrow he should be on site with a pumper pumping shotcrete in there. So he's still on schedule. Everything's going fine, and so he's bent some rebar and he's tied some things up. So he's going to start shooting tomorrow.
How's the tank restorations going? Pretty good.
Done. Just waiting for the coating on the inside to cure, and the mixer going in, and then the electrical for the mixer is being worked on at the same time here. So it shouldn't be too long.
What, 2 weeks?
Yeah, they didn't give me a real time for when that would be. Farmers has been working on the electrical, trying to get the conduit over there and get through. We have a little bit of a problem. We got conduit underneath there that also powers a booster antenna for the police department. So there's three conduits or four conduits running to the top of that tower. So we're trying to pick up one that we may be able to pull through and use without laying a new one in there. But that's what we're working on right now. But it's making progress.
And 9, how's the status on 9 looking?
Real well. Running at about 52%, pumping 1161 GPM. It's been staying right there. So it's working real well.
That's good. You're not overworking it. That's good.
Yeah. So they're out there spreading some gravel, rolling some gravel. They got the house to go around the pump yet. But the rest of it's put up.
You take some pictures and bring them in to the next meeting so we can see.
I can do that.
I don't want to drive out there, but I'd like to see what you got.
Okay. I'll take some shots. Bring them in. Put them on the slide.
Yep.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any other unfinished business? Any new business? I have a new business. After talking with staff today, we're not convinced that we have enough information or items on an agenda to do a workshop on the 6th of June. So unless there's something from any one of you council members who would like to go into depth on any particular subject, I was looking for either a consensus to cancel the workshop on June 6th or if you have something that you really want to be addressed, then we can still continue on with our regularly scheduled workshop.
Well, Travis, how did that deal go? Did you attend that deal in Spokane?
Yeah.
Bless you.
John, yep, we both attended. We could do an update. In fact, we've already talked to Allison Esvelt, who's our advisor on the water reuse. And it was a very, very good conference. And we're looking at putting together a whole presentation for you all. And I'm not sure when she's going to get that done. If she has it done before the 6th, then we can put it back on. But it's going to be obviously very involved. And what I've asked her to do is put together a presentation that shows, where we are right now, and then mark some time along the way, and what is we're looking to get done at that point, and where the funding we're going to get, try and go. We had met with the funders and the regulators and a whole bunch of other experts this last week, and I think Travis will agree with me. It was one of the better conferences we've attended. There's a lot of interest, as I told the mayor today, in Othello. Of the, 18, 19 presentations, five of them mentioned Othello, and every break just about somebody was coming up to either myself or Travis talking about, you know, how they could help, what they're going to do, and what was available for funding, and the regulators were pretty much all on board with the water reuse piece, and the ASR piece is going to be more complicated, but there's a lot going for Othello right now. On the political side, as you guys know, Sean has really done yeoman's work and getting some political connections out there for us. So we think we're lining things up, and the stars are going to align, we think. I'm not going to say yes until we start moving dirt and actually doing something, but it's going to take some steps. We're going to try and do an industry, public-private partnership, get, Simplot and McCain's and SVZ and whatever other industry involved in this, because it's going to affect everybody. And the end goal is going to be for sustainable, reliable, long-term water supply. One that, this council, or maybe not this council, because it's about a, six, seven, eight-year process, Travis. but some of you will still be on council then, but you won't have to worry about it, and hopefully it will never come up in discussion again for you guys or your predecessors or ones after that. That's the goal, is that your children and your children's children won't have to worry about water, won't have a water shortage like we did last summer. And also, we'll be able to attract and keep the industries we have and attract new industry as well, because we have the water supplies and the water disposal systems in place to do that. And without spending all of our coffers, emptying our coffers in doing so. It's going to take some money, and we're going to have to come up with some money. But in talking to some of the funders there and some of the people who've done this, maybe not as much as what we originally thought. So it's a very encouraging, great conference. I wish all of you guys could have been there to watch the excitement over Othello. It was pretty funny, pretty nice. So that's what's going on there. But when we get that plan put together, to your question, is that's when I want them to come do that. And I don't think it's going to be ready by the 6th of June, because there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of pieces we want to put together. So
good. From the political side, whenever they're getting excited about Othello, that's a good thing for us. And
well, sometimes it's just good to be first to the trough. They want to get somebody started. They want to get these, they have these programs. They want somebody to step up and say, we're willing to do it.
Well, yes and no. In this case, I think they are looking for the right person to the trough, and so there may be some other people that may beat us there, but we've got the idea planted in the brain, and the fellow's going to try and do it correctly. We've got a completed comp plan. That got people excited, too, that we had a fresh comp plan that showed why we needed this kind of resource, because our population is going to grow when we got the facts to back it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've got a lot of things that other communities don't have yet. The biggest thing we need right away, and which we're working on, is this plan that Sean or you guys can take to the legislative meetings and stuff, both state and the national level. So some of this requires national funding, as we found out. But once we have that in place, I believe we're the great guns. Travis and I will begin working, not begin, we'll finish work on RFQ for a grant writer, so we have that person in place. We thought we had somebody lined up, but they bailed on us, so we got to start again. So we'll have all those pieces in place, we hope, and that way we can start getting funded. We got, as you all, I believe, know, we're right on the cusp of getting a $180,000 grant for the ASR feasibility study. That's hopefully going to come through. We had to make some tweaks to it that our water consultant is making right now, and then we think that's like a shoe-in. And so that's the start, and that's just for the ASR thing, which is a long process. That's one of the first things you have to do. Mm-hmm. So we're making progress. It's pretty exciting.
And I want to talk to a little bit, because Wade mentioned her, and this gal named Allison Esveld Engineering out of Spokane. She's the consultant that Varela hired to help us walk us through this process. It's extremely complex, not only from the engineering and the design portion of it, but also the funding of it and where you're going to get the sources of it. and this is what she and her firm have the expertise in. And so the city's never gone down this path before with one, something so big, and two, needing funding, as much funding as we're going to need. We just don't have the money to do this project. But one of the things that excites the state agencies and federal agencies, and also, you know, even some of the electeds, is the fact that most of the cities wait until the problem is a crisis before they do anything about it. And so then they're coming with the crisis, and or they don't want to plan to solve something on a really grand and big scale that takes care of the problem. And so state agencies love someone who's thinking ahead and has done their planning and their homework, and they can lay out a design and a strategy. And that is something that is going to be step driven. We need to know, what do we do at this step? What kind of funding are we going to do at this step? And then the next step, and then the next step. And that's what Allison and the engineering firm, and also Aspect Engineering.
Well, Aspect and, of course, and Varela.
And Varela.
And all working in concert. Both representatives from all three of those were there at this conference, both from Varela. There was two people there from Varela, Jesse Gallagher and his dad, Dana, and then Tim Flynn was there from Aspect, and like we said, Allison was there.
Now, the other part of that is that we're going to have some kind of presentation in June for the council from Allison and Varela, so that you guys understand exactly what it is that we're looking at trying to do, because this is something that's got to be approved by the council. So that you'll have, you're going to have knowledge and education of the direction we want to take this in, and how we're going to go forward. Then, by August, Mary Dye and Mark Schessler have said, we need something in writing that shows what it is you guys want and what we could potentially help you fund. In the meantime, then, we're going to circle back to the Bureau of Reclamation, which is the federal side, Dan Newhouse, and Patty Murray's office, and Maria Cantwell, and we're going to again show them what our plan is and what steps that we're taking, and we're going to hit everybody. And since this is a big election year for every one of those, this is a good time to be talking to them. So
okay, well, I think that as soon as you get something developed, I think the key players involved in this coming to attrition are going to be the facilities that are here. So somebody better get with them and let them know what they're doing. As I've explained previously, they both have their own systems.
Yeah, maybe you misheard me, but I said that's one of the things we're doing is a public-private partnership. And that actually is step one.
That's what Allison said was step one. We need to meet with McCain, SVZ, and Simplot and discuss what we're doing going forward.
Yeah.
Now, for SVZ, I mean, they'll jump at this. They would love this. But for Simplot and McCain's, they already have a multi-million-dollar waste treatment system, and they're going to continue to have to run their portion of their waste treatment system to deliver the water to a discharge point for the city.
Right.
Okay. So you've got to look at it from their point of view.
Yes.
They have things that they're doing already, and they're going to be having to back out of that.
We know that. That's why we said the step one is to talk to them.
Yeah. Find out what are the needs, what are the directions that they want to go in, and then what can the public-private partnership offer them?
Well, I definitely believe that sustainability is the key for industry to be here.
Yeah.
And it may overcome concerns about this area if we could provide sustainability, which would bring in more expansion.
That'd be the idea.
Okay, so, you know, you got to look at it from that aspect. Okay, you know, we need to partner up for this because
we need a future.
Yes.
That's the bottom, that's our message, right?
That's exactly right.
But you got to understand, too, where they're coming from. They've already got their own systems.
Well, and we've always discussed that, you know, for industry, as they should be, it's the bottom line. What's the bottom line? Well, the bottom line is, which is in the business of making money. So we have to show that this will affect their bottom line, not necessarily now, but in the future, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now. So they won't have to worry about water, won't have to worry about getting rid of the waste. All that stuff is what we're looking at. Because, you know, as you keep applying waste, you know, there's salt get built up, you know, there's all kinds of other issues. You're well aware of that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do it so that's not going to be a worry for them. That's what we're looking for.
But it's exciting. It's good. Council needs to be up to speed on everything. And sometime in June, one of the meetings, Allison will be here and we'll get to meet her. And she will do her best to answer all the questions and to give you guys an idea of what directions and what steps are necessary in order to move this forward. And after just one meeting with her, I'm really impressed that they got us the right person at the right time. So with that, is there any other new business?
One more question for Terry.
Yes.
How's the pool doing? And when does it open?
11th, I think so.
Okay, 11th of June. We have it filled. It's about waiting. June 1, swim team will be in practice.
Okay.
So, cleaned it. We had our orientation with our guards, head guards, and managers. So, all that's going in and cleaned everything up, organized everything up. So, monitoring it. A few more cleanups down at the bottom of the pool from the dirt.
Same manager as last year?
Pardon me?
New manager or same manager?
No, different manager.
Brenda Flashman is our new manager.
Yeah, correct.
Adult supervision from Amy. Okay.
Mayor?
Yes.
Did we need to move on this June 6th? Do we have to have a motion or anything?
We just need a consensus.
Consensus. If we don't have anything.
Allison isn't going to be ready by June 6th, but I'm hoping by either the 13th or the 29th.
There's no other projects coming up or need to be talked about? I guess there isn't if you guys couldn't figure anything out.
Well, we're not at the stage where we're ready to have a discussion yet.
No, I know, but of anything else? Captain?
Now, the way I'm reaching on already, I believe. I'm racking my brain here.
What, are we knocking them dead or what? I mean...
Well, we're doing our best.
Or is it just slow?
No, trust me, we're not slow. We've got a lot going on.
Okay. Okay. What do you guys think?
Well, I would say, you know, they've still got a week, and if something comes up, they can always call us and say we're back on.
Okay, so we'll cancel the meeting unless otherwise notified.
Okay.
Moved to item 7, council is going to receive the following department head reports and the planning commission minutes. And having no further business, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:46 p.m.